Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Go forth. into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Yahashua. Thank you, mighty Lord. Shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother Elvi Safar. Thank you, Lord. We're brother Benjamin on the phone. Thank you, Lord, who is our guest tonight to share a God revelation with God's people. My brother and sister, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're excited to have him. Hallelujah. I know some people have requested that he will come back and share some of the great tribulation dream that he had and the revelation the Lord has given him in regard to heaven. Hallelujah. And the coming of Jesus, my brother and sister. Jesus is so close to come. He wants us to stay focused on him and nothing else, my brother and sister, because everything is so close. We need to stay focused on him. Hallelujah. Before his return, thank you to each and one of you that are joining us. We continue to pray for one another as the Lord has called us to do and for the promise. Hallelujah. That the Lord, hallelujah, made to us in his word. Hallelujah. That he fulfills over our life every single day. We need to remember those promises, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. And a lot of time we need to be reminded. This week, I'm reminding God's people of God's promises over their life that you can claim any day or any time. Praise you, Lord. Amen. To our brother Benjamin, it's going to come on and share, hallelujah, everything God has been giving him, especially over the last week. He's been receiving dreams and more in regard to the Great Tribulation. It is so close. I don't know if Brother Benjamin has received anything about the millennium. Shalom, Brother Benjamin.
Hey, shalom, Brother Elvie. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you clear, brother. Have you received anything
shalom,
about
brother,
the millennium?
Shalom, Brother. The one dream I had about the millennium, and I'll tell you, the Lord took me in there, and I was flying. I'm hearing like an echo.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still hearing an echo on the background. Shalom, shalom, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let me clear the airways. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come in your presence, mighty God, mighty Lord. Send your angels right now, Lord God, to clear the airways, Lord God. Send your angels from the north to the south, to the east to the west. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Clear the airways. And all, again, we come against all the power of the enemy. We bind the powers of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We bind your attack on us. We bind your attack that's coming, that's trying to distort the radio waves, distort the sound of my voice, distort what the Lord has given me. We bind you, Satan, right now. You cannot win. You cannot. You must go. Go in Jesus' name. You must go right now in Jesus' name. So, Father, we ask you that you just put your blessing on us and put a hedge of protection around this radio broadcast right now and continue to bless us, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't hear the echo anymore. God is so faithful. God is so good. He is a merciful God. And shalom, hallelujah. My God, I was just sitting back today, and I was thinking the Lord took me back. I was watching the movie Jeremiah because I was trying to find something to keep my mind on God, and it's so important in these last days just to try to find something, whether it's a song or whether it's a godly movie. You got to keep your mind focused upon the Lord. And I was trying to find something to watch, and I was watching the movie Jeremiah from the Bible collection. It was on, like, Amazon Prime. And, oh, my God, what a message that movie had. And it kind of reminded me when Jeremiah was a little boy, God came and talked to him. You know, the Spirit of the Lord came and came down and started talking to him. And I was thinking about the Lord took me back to when I was like 5 or 6 years old. And I used to talk to the Lord all the time, you know, instead of me coming out and asking the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not going to be like everybody else, Lord. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to just come to you and ask for this or for that, Lord. I just want to, Lord, tell me about your day. Tell me about your day, Lord. And I was asking the Lord, how you feel? Tell me what's going on with you. And the Lord took me back to that today. And I, you know, it's been so long. I used to do that every time I could think about it, going to school. And, you know, and he took me back to when I was a little boy. And I was thinking about that, and I was pondering on it. Like, wow, God is so faithful. He remembers the little things that you don't remember. The things that happen in your life, they're so important to him. They might not be all that important to you, but God remembers that. Anything you did for him, anything you said to him, he remembers all the prayers. And, you know, and I was like, wow, Lord, you remember that. You brought me all the way back then. And then he brought me to the first experience I had with him when he gave me the dream. And this was the first time I asked God. I said, Lord, and it was just me and God there. I said, Father, if you're there, I want to see your power, Lord. I want to see your power. And, you know, that night, the Lord, he came down before me, and I seen our Father, and I seen God, the Father. And he was as an older man with a long beard. And he was, I could see his glory. I couldn't look upon his face because it was so, he had so much light emitting from him. And I seen, he made three tornadoes come down right in front of me. And one represented the Father, the other one represented the Son, and the other one represented the Holy Spirit. And then he made them spin around right in front of me together. And they were all working as one. And I said, oh, my God, my Lord. And that was the first night I really had an encounter with the Lord. And that encounter right there changed me. That encounter kind of prepared me, you know, for this day forward. That encounter gave me faith. And, you know, after that, after I had that encounter, then God started using, he kept on using the gift, that gift in me. You know, and I was thinking about this as I was watching the movie Jeremiah. As Jeremiah was, you know, when the Lord started talking to Jeremiah and he had an encounter with Jeremiah, Jeremiah's life changed. From that point on, Jeremiah was not in control of his life, but he submitted his life to God from that point on. And we all have to do the same thing. If you haven't had an encounter like that with the living God, you need to have an encounter with the living God. You need to have the Lord come and visit you. He wants to come and visit you. He desperately wants to come and visit you, but there's stuff that's in your life that will stop him from coming and visiting you. You know, that's the outside things and the internal things. And, you know, and I was thinking about that, and as Jeremiah was giving words of the Lord out, he was going through all kind of persecution. And he was going through all kind of, you know, he wasn't even accepted in his own city. He wasn't even accepted in Judea. He wasn't accepted in Jerusalem. And, you know, like the word says, that no prophet is accepted in his own city or his own town. And I just watched all the, you know, stuff that Jeremiah went through, and I was like, oh, my God, Lord, I could just think about all the stuff that the Lord Jesus went through for us. You know, and it's like, okay, Jeremiah went through all this, but it's not comparison to what Jesus went through for us. You know, I went through things in my life, but that's no comparison what Jesus went through for me. And, you know, my heart just got filled with the love of God when I was just sitting back just contemplating all the times that God was there for me. And God was there, you know, even when it seemed like nobody was there, God was there. God was listening. Even when I was crying and I was praying and I was crying my heart out to the Lord, and it seemed like my back was up against a wall and I didn't have anywhere to go, I could always look up, and now I know my Father was there. My Father was the one that was providing. My Father was the one that was blessing and sending his blessings forward. So, brothers and sisters, I'm here to encourage you tonight. Like, God encouraged me. He encouraged me this past weekend. You know, now, and I was talking to Brother Elvie, and I realized that I had the spirit of worry on me. The spirit of worry, the worry that I was, and I'm pretty sure everybody has worry right now. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about their houses. They're worried about their finances. They're worried about the COVID, the vaccine, and everything that's going on in the outside world. You know, the worry, and the worry is an open door. And I had to repent. I had to repent of that open door that I had. Because I was worried, and God told me over and over again not to worry. And I was just worrying, and I was just thinking, you know, I kind of lost faith. Well, I'm not going to say I completely lost faith, but I did. I lost some faith, and I had to come to a realization, Lord, that increased my faith. My faith is weak in this point. I got to get more faith to get to the next step. More faith to get up higher on his mountaintop. I got to have more faith. And I know, you know, in the times, God is just preparing us right now. He's using these times right now to build our faith, to get us up, to move us up another level, to take it up another level higher. We can't become complacent where we're at. And I think that's the problem with a lot of churches right now. They're complacent where they're at. They're stuck where they're at. They don't want to grow in this. They don't want to grow in faith. Growing in faith is hard because sometimes you have to go through some hard tests. But on the other side of that, is blessings. On the other side of that is growing more with the Lord. You know, the Lord has more for you to do. The Lord has more he wants to give you. But you got to be obedient. You got to want to grow. You got to want to read. You got to want to pray. You got to want to spend time in the Spirit and grow in the Spirit. And that's the only thing that's going to stop the enemy from attacking is you growing in the Spirit and you getting on your knees and confessing where you're at. Lord, help me where I'm at right here, right now. Help me with this weakness. Help me with that. And God is faithful, and He will do that. And I seen the Lord took me up in heaven, and He showed me His children. I was able to look down. And He showed me His children, and I got to see how God sees, how our Father sees everything, how everything is wide open from His heavenly view. God, He reached down from heaven and He grabbed me by my spirit with his big arm and big hand, and He took me up and He put me on His shoulder and allowed me to tip over and see down and see in the world like He does. And I was up in the clouds just looking down upon the earth, looking down in America like He does, and I could see everything so clear. There's nothing hidden from God's sight. Our Father could look down into the house and see all the way down in the basement if everything is illuminated to Him. Every sin is revealed to Him. Anything that's in your heart is revealed to Him. There is no hiding anything. God sees all. He sees everything that the people are doing in secret. He sees it. everything that they're doing at night, he sees it. He sees all that they're planning. God's eyes are upon the world right now. In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, so that he may support those whose heart is completely his." So God is watching, and I got to see the Lord. The Lord, you know, I got to see how God sees all of us, and he looks down into the hearts of men, and he's looking down and seeing what's going on. He's just sitting back watching, and the Lord is always watching what's going on. He's watching what decisions we make. He's watching to see if we're going to sit down and pray. He's watching to see if we're going to turn our cheeks and go away and leave him. He's watching for all that. And in Psalms 33, verse 13, it said, "The Lord looketh from heaven, and he behold all the sons of men." And this is what I got to see. And another verse says, "He looked on all the sons of men from heaven." And verse 14 says, "From the place of his habitation, he looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike, and he considered all their works." So he says he looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He looked at, and that's what God is doing now. He's looking upon everybody as a whole. He's looking on his bride. He's looking on the people that's doing evil. He's looking at everybody right now. And he's looking on his children to bless them. And he's looking on everybody else for judgment, because we are going into the times of judgment. There's stuff will not never go back to where it was. Things will never be peace like it was. The peace that we had a year and a half ago, we will never have that type of peace now. And the peace that you have now, you won't have in the next year. Do you hear what I'm saying? The peace that you have right now, you won't have in the next year. And hallelujah, thank you, Lord. And the Bible says, "For there is no king save by the multitude of the host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is in vain, is a vain thing for the safety. And neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." God is not going to deliver a mighty man. He's not going to deliver a king. He's not going to deliver anyone that's not chosen his side. So what God is doing right now in the time, that, and this is what the Lord showed me, the fence that people was straddling, he removed it. The people that was halfway in and halfway out, they got to make a choice now. The people that are walking in the middle or walking in the gray, they got to make a choice now. God said, "I'd rather take you hot or cold, but lukewarm I will spew you out." And God right now, he's making people make the choice. Either you're going to choose me or you're going to choose death. You're going to choose life in Jesus Christ or you're going to choose death. There's no more in between. Either you make this choice now or you're going to make this choice later. It's easier to make the choice now than it will be later. If you don't have enough faith to make the choice now, you won't have enough faith to make that choice later. Hallelujah. And that's what God was showing me when he was looking at. I was able to look down and I could see the people's sins. I could see the people's sins. I could look down on the earth and I could see why God was so upset. I could look at my father's face and I could see how upset he was with all the sin that's going on in this land, all the things that's happened. I could see how hurt he was. Our Father is a loving God. Our Father, he does not just wish to punish us and beat us down. Our Father is so loving. He wants to pick us up. He wants to open up windows of blessing for his children. He wants to do all that for his children. He wants to be, oh, Lord, I can't even begin to tell you about all the things that God has prepared for you. God has prepared for you, and God has in store. God already has everything laid out in the millennium. And as Brother Elvie, he could tell you clearly, everything is laid out in the millennium. The new millennium, I've seen that the cars, they're like going to drive themselves like how the Teslas is now, but those cars right now, they can't compare to the cars in the new millennium. The cars in the new millennium, you have the option to drive them, or you can let God steer them. I don't even know if it's a computer, but I know it's the technology that they have there is not compared to anything that we have now. It's way better. The car, you could hit a button and it could take off and fly. I was able to see that. I was able to go drive in a car like that. I would say, oh my God, I can't believe you just did that. So when the Lord took me to the new millennium, I the first thing I noticed was everything was so bright. Everything was so happy. I was able to look up in the sky, and I could see our Father sitting in the middle of the sky, like where the sun would be, but he's sitting closer, and it's brighter. And he was the power. He was the sunlight. You know, like if you look at the sun right now, you know, when you go outside, let's say you've been going through like a lot of storms, because it's been storming where I live at right now. The weather kind of is gloomy and you feel down and you feel depressed. But when you step outside in the sunlight, you feel good. You feel refreshed. And that's how it is in the new millennium. When you go out and you feel God out there, he's just right there and sitting in the middle of the sky, and the light is just radiating from his throne, you know, that I could see. And it was just right there. He was the light. He was the life. And you could just feel his blessings, and it wasn't hot. It took me a little bit of time for my eyes to adjust, because it's more brighter in the new millennium. It's the light is everywhere. I mean, it's like, you know, everything is radiated with God's glory. That is the perfect word to say. Everything is radiated with God's glory. I can see God's glory in the grass. I can see God's glory on the rocks. Everything was perfect. Everything was perfect in the new millennium. Everything. There was nothing out of place. There wasn't even a stone on the ground that was out of place. And I seen like a river or a fountain, and it was so clear. It was clear. The water was, there was no pollution. The water was so clear. It was like the living waters. Like I could see what the Bible spoke about when Jesus said, drink of me and I'll give you the living waters. When he was talking to the woman at the well, I could see the living waters just flowing out of the water there, out of the ground there. And it was so pure. It was so perfect. It was like water that I've never seen or drunk in anything. It was so clean. You could look all the way down into the bottom and see no sediment. You could see nothing wrong with it. You know, there you could just look on the zoom all the way down there, and it was all purified. It was even more purified than the water that we have today that you go to, like, let's say, like a SeaWorld or someplace like that where they got the animal shows and you could, like, see the fish swimming around. It's nothing compared to like that in the new millennium. The buildings, every building was perfect. Every building had the light of God radiating off of it. It was reflecting off of the building. Everything. It was so, you know, the grass was greener. The building was brighter. And everything God had did, his angels made the buildings. They were perfect. You know, there was nothing out of place with them. There was nothing wrong with them. It was like I could look and see that building will last for thousands of years without any problems. The windows won't break on that building. That's how perfect it was. And in the new millennium, I was able to fly. I was able to fly. I had one long wing, and my other wing wasn't quite as long. And I when I looked up and I seen it, it was faith that the Lord was showing me that I didn't have enough faith yet to fly full ways. And you move off, you fly off of faith. Everything is done by faith with God. You know, when you move from here to there, that's all done by faith. Faith is God's vehicle there. And I told him, I said, Father, I want to come up to you. And I went up to him. And then he told me, go see a brother that was, I guess he was in like the next town. And he gave me like a mission and gave me a word to give to him. So I went back down and I started kind of running and jumping. And I was able to fly a little bit up the hill. And, you know, and the brother picked me up in the car. That's when I got to, you know, get to experience the car. And, you know, everybody, the people there are so, they're happy. They're joyful. They got the Spirit of the Lord in them. Everybody is completely different than how things is now. You can't compare now to the times of the millennium. Everybody has a smile on their face. Everybody's helpful. Everybody's nice. You could pray, and everybody try to pray with you. Everybody, you start speaking in tongues in the middle of the park. Everybody's going to get down and start speaking in tongues with you. And you know that was something. You know, it's like that doesn't happen here. If you stop your car in the middle of the freeway, get out the car and you start praising God and worshiping God, everybody joins in with you. I was like, oh my God, Lord. The angels are there. They're there to help you. Help whatever you need to, whatever you need them to do. They're there to help you, and everybody's there to help you. And I've seen that God, the Lord Jesus, is in control of everything, and He rules it with an iron fist. He rules it with an iron fist. The things that's going on now is not going to go on in the millennium as far as sin wise. He doesn't play with that. There's going to be even less tolerance then for sin. So this Christian life that you're living now, you're going to be still living the same life, but even better in the millennium. Even better. You're not going to have to worry about bills. You're not going to have to worry about your houses. You're not going to have to worry about anything that you're worried about now. You're not going to have to. Because God already done everything for you. God, he has the buildings provided. He got the houses already done. He already has a game plan of how he's going to make everything. And I honestly believe that he's just going to speak the word and bam, it's done. It's done again. He's just going to recreate things just by speaking a word. And it's done. Because his word is so powerful. His word is just going to move, and he already knows every little detail of how he wants and how he has everything. He already knows it all. It's all written in the book, and he's shown, you know, brothers like Brother Elvie, you know, other details of how the new millennium is going to be. You know, and I went up, and I was praying with the brother, and I gave him the word the Lord gave me, and I seen how God, you know, the Lord is going to send us on missions. His bride right now, he's going to send them on missions that go up into heaven. He's going to send us on missions to either, you know, lead brothers or teach them whatever he says. You know, that's what you're going to go and do. And then you're going to report back and do whatever, you know, you want to do for the rest of the day or whatever he has in store for you. There's going to be some people that's going to stay up in heaven, and there's going to be some people that's going to want to come down to the millennium and live. Down in the millennium. But I seen that God was just sending his children out. The Lord was sending his children out to do, you know, whatever he wanted them to do. He'll tell you what to do. You go do it. Then you go on about your business. Then you come back to him. You know, and it was just like that on a daily basis. And I do believe, I didn't see, but I do believe that that's how the economic system is going to run. is going to be all through the Lord's transactions. Whatever you do for the Lord, that's how you're going to get paid. Because he says his rewards are with him. He is the reward of those that diligently seek him. God's going to reward you for whatever you do. And that's how I believe everything is. I was not allowed to see all that and know all that, but I do believe that that's how it works in the millennium. And I seen, like, you know, everybody was just so cheerful. Everything was perfect. You know, it was completely different than how it is now. Everybody's houses were, you know, pretty big. But I seen some brothers that was kind of living in little apartments. And I knew immediately that they did not give. They did not support. They did not do right by the Lord now. And, you know, that's why they received what they did then, you know, and it was just a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says, and back to Psalms 34, verse 18, it says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercies, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." Hallelujah. So God, he has his eyes upon his children. He's going to protect them. He's going to be the shield. He's going to be their buckler. He's going to deliver them. He's going to be with them in all and everything that they do. And you see that even more when we get to the new millennium. Hey, Brother Elby, are you still on?
Yes, brother. Amen.
Was that in the morning?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. He fulfilled all his promise to us. And yes, all the homes are, it depends on how the person has given. Like, I've been told that a lot of people that are supporting us here in the Lord Tower, not a lot, the few that are supporting us will have great homes in the millennium because of supporting this program, and at the same time the poor in Israel. We continue to do that, and we continue to encourage people. Maybe I don't do it a lot. Maybe I don't encourage people a lot in the Lord Tower, but I just don't want people to think I'm after their money. But their support is recorded. And when they go to the millennium, they'll have wonderful homes. I have visited people in the millennium, and it's incredible what I saw in someone mentioned, which I mentioned. They had all kinds of animals. They had lion, tiger, deers, zebra. They had all kinds of, it was like a jungle, but these animals was part of what they own. Like, you have to respect, because this is what they wanted to have. And the Lord giving this person this mansion, this palace, and the person had all these animals on their land, and it was enough acres for them to, and I knew this was one of our biggest supporters. And I was like, wow, the Lord is just so faithful on what he's going to give to his people. Nothing is forgotten. Nothing is forgotten. Everything is recorded, my brother and sister. And to me, when we began the Lord's Hour, this is one of the things that I was told, because I was being careful, because I didn't want to ask for support in the beginning. But is what the Lord says, I will touch my children, I will speak to them to support the program, he says to me. And so, because he didn't want me to go back to work, I was thinking, well, I'll do the program, I'll go back to work, and I'll have my own thing, and no, but that's not the way he wanted it, because then I won't be able to have the time that I have now to pray, and then to see and really help people through prayer, that those that are supporting, I can pray for them every day, day and night, my brother and sister, morning, afternoon, and have that time to do so. If not, I won't be able to if I'm working, and that's what's so difficult about. But it's important that we continue to do this, my brother and sister. We continue to support the poor in Israel, the ministry to continue to win souls, winning souls and supporting the poor in Israel combined together is so powerful to God in heaven, because you'll be rewarded for both, not just supporting the poor in Israel, but also supporting the ministry and the souls that are coming to the Lord because of the message and because of all the time that I'm allowed to pray with the Lord, three and a half hours, that I will not be able to do that when I go into prayer with the Lord if I was working, because I'll be too tired. You know, I got to be honest. I'll be too tired. It'll be too difficult. You know, but when you have the time, then you're able to do it, because it's just the way it is, you know. I actually work more than 8 hours for the Lord every day. That's practically what I do, which I used to do it for man, regular job, and do overtime and all that. So it doesn't hurt me to do overtime for the Lord, you know, because I sat down with people and talked about what I do, and then when I tell them what I do more than 8 hours every day, 7 days a week, not just, you know, I work Saturday and Sunday also. My brother insisted, and it's all for the Lord. I don't complain about it. I'm not unhappy about it. The only thing is that I want to go to heaven. I just want to go to heaven. I want Jesus to come for us, my brother insisted. But the Lord had told me this, for me to speak more about the millennium. He wants his people to be focused about the millennium, the promise of the Lord in the millennium. And I also, Brother Benjamin, that's one thing I was able to experience. I also could fly in the millennium. I have wind in the millennium. And I would fly, but sometimes I could fly fast and travel to different countries, different places. And some other time, I will struggle flying. And it's like you said, it is the faith. Everything is done by faith. I don't have a problem in heaven, but in the millennium, I did have struggle flying at one time. But in another time, I could move like angel with no problem also. So I believe a lot of the revelation is how we are doing now with the Lord. If we're struggling with something, when he takes us to the millennium, it's like, because our body's still here, it's all interconnected with one another. You have that struggle. Like if you were there completely in spirit in your new body, you won't have none of the struggle. You simply just do it. Because I saw people doing it. I saw redeeming the millennium, moving like angels. I was a couple of times or more, I was able to move like them. And then I was like, wow, this is so awesome. I love it. You know, I read a verse, and I believe it's in Isaiah, that women will surpass men. And to me, that was mind-blowing, because that's exactly what I saw in the millennium. Some sister redeems were faster than men. And I saw some of the men like trying to be faster than they. But the woman still beat them. And that verse was the verse that you could refer to, a woman surpassing a man, because it's in your relationship with the Lord, how close you are with the Lord, and truly you can see it here in the ministry. I get more support from women here than actually from men. I got more women listener than men. And when I was doing the M-Home ministry and the outer ministry, going to the park and all that, we have more women in the band that were going with us to do ministry than men. I always been seeing that in time. And you know, when I began in the gospel, they used to discriminate women a lot. Oh, you can't evangelize. You cannot speak from the pulpit. You cannot speak from the microphone on the radio. None of the nonsense, I believe. I believe the Lord can use women as he can use men. That discrimination that they had against women, I totally am against that. That is not true. It's whom the Lord chooses, whom the Lord wants to use, my brother and sisters. And we should respect women as we should respect one another, my brother and sisters. But discriminate one another, no, that's a nonsense, my brother and sisters. The Lord My aunt, who is, I believe she's 88 or 89 now, okay, my brother insisted, yes, thank you for that verse, the woman should confess a man. That's Jeremiah 31:22. Thank you for that. Praise you, Lord. So my aunt is a powerful pastor, and the Lord called her to be a pastor in the 70s, or I believe it was late 60s, when no one back in the island believed women can be pastors. She's been like the first pastor woman back in the island, and she was heavily criticized, but she's more anointed than a lot of men. My aunt is a pastor, and she is more anointed than a lot of men. When the Lord uses her, he uses her with power. And she goes out and wins the prostitute and the homeless for Jesus under the power of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is a very powerful woman of God, okay? And when she speaks, you feel very close to God, okay? She was speaking to me on the phone the other day. The anointing was so powerful, you know, and she gave me the advice, continue to preach the departure of the Lord. The rapture is the message of the day, of the hour, of the minute, she said. Okay? She advised me to preach that message. It's very important. Okay? And I said, yes. I said to mine, yes, yes, of course I will. She's very happy that I'm doing ministry, that the Lord is using me here. My brother insisted. And there was a time I wanted to have her on the radio. But she's like, no. That's your ministry. God called you to do that. Do that. Okay, I'll be praying for you. Continue to do that. Because she is like, she doesn't work neither. But when she had to go out and win the prostitute, win the women on the street, whatever situation, and she goes, she'll lay hand on people. She'll hug them. She'll cry with them. The Lord will deliver them through her. Because she had her own fasting during the weeks. And since she's already close to 90, my brother insisted for her to, and she's straight, okay? She's straight. Her body's straight. She's strong, okay? For her to go and rebuke demon out of people, almost a 90, that's a lot. That says a lot about her. And to preach for hours to these women when she has to, because she go to different of them. She just goes down to downtown. And she doesn't see people doing it. She does it. The Lord sent her, and she does it, my brother and sister. Not a lot of people can say they do that. She has a love and a passion for the homeless, okay? She leads them out of sin. She leads them out of prostitution. She leads them to the Lord, how the Lord uses her, my brother and sister. We are living in such a time that we need to ask the Lord to use us in that regard. But the church is almost out of here. She totally agreed with this message. The church is out of here. Okay? She understands the Greek, the Hebrew. She understands those languages very well. She has studied it for over 40 years. And she was telling me about this language and what the rapture, the departure means in those languages. The cut up in the air. The taken away suddenly. Okay? She explained all that to me. And she said, tell them about that. Tell them, because she gave me more than an hour in Greek and Hebrew, because she's been studying it for long. She knows them very well. I said, I know a little bit about them, not so much as she does, but she's very powerful in that regard. Because I said to her, some people don't believe that the rapture is biblical just because the word rapture is not in the Bible. And she said, it may not be in the English Bible, but let's go into the Greek. Let's go into the Hebrew. And then she translates the word, and then she says, the harpazo. And she began to explain it and says, that's the meaning rapture. And she said, rapture is taking suddenly, okay? The Lord taking you with him. And she explains it very well, and she says, it's totally biblical. Is that in the translation, it's not translated as it should have been translated from the original language, biblical language. And I said, that is so true. But anyway, we have the understanding, okay? It's not, as they say, falling away. It's departure. The original translation is departure, which they said in the Bible it's fallen away, but in the original King James Bible, the word is departure, not rapture, not fall away, okay, which a lot of people tend to ignore, okay? It's very important that we keep that also in mind. Amen. So go ahead, Brother Benjamin.
Amen, brother. Yeah, that's it right there. And it's the rapture is coming soon. It's going to be here, you know, to the times we're at right now. And the Lord gave me Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. And I'll read this. It says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, once more I will shake the heaven and earth and the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And the glory of the latter-day temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And I will place, and in this place, excuse me, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." And this is from the Amplified version. And this is where God showed me that we're at right now. And another correlating scripture, because God always does stuff in twos and threes, is Hebrews chapter 12, 26 through 27. And it says, "Again, says the Lord, I will once more shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate that the moving of waters can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain." And that's the Living Translation, so everybody can understand. And what God was saying is the things that he's shaking everything. He's shaking the heavens. He's shaking the earth. And we could see this just in the past year. Everything that people thought that was, you know, where their God was or where their heart was, God has shaken it. You know, people have their heart on money. God is shaking the money now. God is shaking the spiritual and he's shaking the physical. And we see, and just as we me and Brother Elvie spoke about the shaking that's coming on Tuesday, and California had an earthquake, a 6.0, and this was on the 8th. And there's since that day, there's been so many other earthquakes, 4s, 5s. Then now you're going to, next thing you're going to do is you're going to start to see 6s, you're going to start to see 7s, and you're even going to start to see some 8s. And, you know, then the couple earthquakes that I've seen, the 8.9 in the Southern California, and then I've seen a 9.2 or a 9.1 is what they're going to say. It's going to be in between 9.1 and 9.2 in Northern California. I've seen that up by Seattle. And then the angel of the Lord told me that there's going to be an even greater than that coming. He didn't give me a number for that. It's going to be an even greater one than that coming. And this is the judgment that God has ordained for now, a shaking. And he's shaking everything that can be shaken. He's shaking people's faith. He's shaking people's houses. So if your house is built upon the rock, Christ Jesus, your house will stand strong. Where is your foundation built? You know, and the Lord is, he's looking at his church right now, and he's looking down and seeing where everybody's foundation is built. Everybody's foundation, the majority of his people in his churches, their foundation was built on the pastor's faith. They didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. They didn't go to the Lord themselves. They didn't fast. They didn't pray. Well, now people are starting to wonder. Now people are starting to see where they got to strengthen their relationship with the Lord. Because if not, this is a delusion that's going over people right now. This is a delusion right now. People are being deceived. My children perish for the lack of knowledge. the lack of knowledge, the lack of wisdom. People are perishing right now because they're so deceived by everything that they watch on TV. They watch the news and they see all the stuff that's going on. They're so deceived. They have no idea what's really happening behind the scenes. God knows. God sees all that. And this is the time that God has given us to get discernment. Go to the Lord. I can't stress this enough right now. You need to go to the Lord and ask God about every move to make. Ask God about anything you should take, anything you should do. You got to be led by God. You got to be led by God on anything right now. The Lord showed me, I seen a young man in a vision, and I seen this young man was possessed. And I seen he was possessed from playing video games. And the Lord showed me that, and that demon spoke and said he possessed that man through playing video games. And I said, wow, those games are wicked. The stuff that you watch on TV, the gates are, and this is something that the Lord has been preaching to me. He's been speaking to me about the gates. We got to close all the doors. Any door that's open in the spirit, it has to be shut. It has to be sealed. It has to be covered. It has to be closed in the name of Jesus. Because the devil is looking for chinks in your armor. If you don't have the armor on, this is something you need to get up and pray every day and put your armor on. You know, those video games, God showed me that the demons are entering people's houses through those video games. You must get rid of them. Get rid of them. Don't play them. Don't touch them. They're an open door, and I seen that clearly. You know, not the time that you spend on those games, it adds up. That could be time that you're spent with the Lord. You're not profiting yourself anything playing any video game. Hallelujah. And the Lord showed me that, you know, it's during this time right now is the time that we should be fasting. We should be praying. We should be coming to the Lord and purifying ourselves and asking God, Lord, what open doors do I have? Reveal to me anything that's in my heart. Reveal to me anything that I need to. Reveal to me everything. I submit yourself to the Lord. And this is what we got to do. Submit yourself to the Lord. Resist the devil and he shall flee. And we submit ourselves, and we got to do it in that order. Submit first. Go to God and say, Lord, cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, cleanse my body, cleanse my soul with your holy fire. Pour your blood over my heart, my soul, my body, and show me, Lord. You know, not only that, okay, now that you cleanse me, now show me what I have that's open, where the enemy's getting in. Because the enemy, the Lord showed me the Christian spiritual houses. There's some Christians that have, you know, and I'm not even going to refer to them as Christians. I'm going to refer to them as saints. There's some saints right now in the body. They have holes in their houses. They have doors that's open spiritually. And the enemy is getting in, and the enemy is stealing. He's stealing from God's children. He's stealing your blessings away. He's stealing your blessings away. He's taking them one after another after another. And if you let him, you let the enemy get in, he bring more of his friends. And they come in, they're robbing people of their spiritual blessings. They're robbing people of the things that God has given you or God has in store for you. God is answering blessings right now. God is blessing his children. He's blessing his children like never before. He's pouring out. He's opening up his windows. He's remembering the prayers that you prayed and the promises that he's made before he's taken his children home. God is faithful. So God is now answering those blessings. God might have promised you for a house, and now he's answering it. He did that for me. When my house got sold up underneath me, and I did a land contract, I'm open as a bank, and I'll tell anybody my testimony. I'm open as a bank. I did a land contract, and the owner sold the house from up underneath me without me even knowing about it, and I had days before I had to leave out of the house. So my back was up against the wall, and I was praying. I'm like, Lord, you said the gold is yours, Lord. You said you wouldn't see your seed broke and begging for bread, Lord. Move for me, Lord. Move for me. I fast and I pray. And next thing I know, God got me in touch with a lady. And fast forward a month later, I got a house. So God is faithful. God is good. God will never let you fail. He will never let you fail. He won't let you fall. You just got to believe that, and you got to know in your heart that God has your back. You know, and that's just one testimony of mine. I could sit here and do a whole show about testimonies that God has done for me. And I'm pretty sure everybody could do the same thing. So when you look at your faith, so I know looking back, my faith is going to look back at that moment when I said my back was against the wall. I didn't have anywhere to go, anything to do but pray, and God answered it. So my faith is going to look back at that moment and say, now I know God. I know God as a provider. My faith is going to look back and say, when God healed me and God healed my kidney, God, I know God is a healer. My faith is going to look back and say, when I didn't have a job and I prayed to God to get me off the streets, doing stuff I shouldn't have been doing, and God got me a job. Now I know God is a way maker. And we all have to learn the Lord in all these different ways. And coming up, the coming prosecution that's coming, and the Lord was speaking to me as I was watching Jeremiah. He was speaking to my heart. You know, as Jeremiah was thrown in jail for the word of the Lord. Oh, the Lord was speaking to my heart that we're going to be like that. We're going to be, there's going to be a lot of his church that's going to be tested like that, thrown in jail for taking a stand for the word of the Lord. Thrown in jail. If you don't have the faith to stand on and choose God now, how are you going to have the faith then when the army comes? Because they're coming. They're coming. I spoke about this probably about 2 to 3 months ago. The army is coming for the unvaccinated. They're making plans right now. Everybody's on the list that has not taken this. So they're going to come around door by door. And I've seen them coming in full force. They might not start like that. They might come and knock and try to plead with you, but eventually they will come and force you. Yeah, the army. I seen the army, National Guards, the army. They were all pulling up in regular cars, jumping out with army on them. Army Marines, they were coming like that. And I seen them rounding us up. I seen them putting the children of God, and they were taking them out of their homes. I seen them do that. They were taking us out of our homes. You know, they were testing and saying, okay, you can't do nothing without testing. We're going to test you and see whether you're positive or you're negative, and all the tests show you were positive, and then they pull you out. And you know what's going? It's already happening around the rest of the world. It's going to happen here. It is. There's just a matter of time. Like I started off with the program saying, the peace that you have now, you won't have that peace in a year in the world. You'll have it in God, and you got to go to God for your peace. Your faith is not in man; it's in God. You know, where God has you on your walk today, you got to ask God to increase your faith to get you to where where you need to be at, to the point that where your resolve is there. If you're not there for God yet, if you're not willing to take your cross up to Calvary and go hang on your cross for the Lord, just like the Lord said in his word that we got to carry our cross daily. Carry it daily. Some days it's hard to take that cross, but you'll be rewarded for it. You'll be rewarded so much for it. And, you know, the Lord says in James, that's why we're going through all this right now. The Lord says in James 1:12, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, and that's what this is right now, being tried. We're going through trials. The bride is being tried. The bride is being purified. He says, and the word says, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. We're getting tried so we can receive our crown. We can go to heaven. We're getting tried. If you already let go of the things of this world, you're no good to the people in this world. You know, the people that's focused on the things of this world, you're not going to be any good to them. But you're a powerhouse in God's eyes. My father said to me one time, because I marveled that God would use somebody else to speak to me. I marveled that God would use an unsaved person to speak to me, and I knew it was the Father. Or the Lord Jesus. I knew he was speaking to me through an unsaved person, and I marveled at it. And I'm like, Lord, that man's not saved. Because he opened my eyes, and I could see it in the spirit that he wasn't saved. And my father said to me, I will use anybody that fears me. Anybody that fears me, I will use. And I said, wow. Wow. So the Lord, he'll use anybody that fears him. Anybody with fear in God, he will use them. And I just marveled at that. I said, wow, God is amazing. God is amazing. I knew that was my father speaking to me through somebody that was not even saved. And I knew exactly who it was. And the Lord says, his sheep know his voice. Now is the time for us to kind of start fine-tuning our ears to pick up on God's voice, fine-tuning our ears to hear God speaking, hear God telling you to go left, hear God tell you to go right, hear God tell you to sit still. Now is the time. This is the Lord revealed to me that how well you listen could determine where your family and how well your family's going to be saved, where they go, what they do. If you're not listening well, the people around you, out of their situation, how are you going to guide them? You can't guide anybody. The blind can't lead the blind. Now is the time for us to say, Lord, remove the scales from my eyes, like Paul. Lord, remove the earplugs from my ears. Allow me to hear your voice. Allow me to see you in every situation. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord showed me. He's coming. He's coming. I've been seeing the rapture. Oh, my God, my God. I've been seeing the rapture. I've been seeing the tribulation. The tribulation is coming. The Lord gave me another dream recently. And I was in an apartment with three stories, and I was sitting on my bed in my room in this house or in this apartment. One of my cousins came in, and I looked at him, and I could see that there was something not right with him. I seen his eyes. I looked at him and I looked at his eyes, and I could see his eyes were, his left eye was completely black, and I looked at his right eye. His right eye it was halfway. It hasn't covered up. It was like the blackness didn't get all the way through him yet. It was halfway there. And I could tell he was like somewhat there, but he wasn't. And he came in. He came in the room, and I spoke to him. I said, I just used the name John. I said, John, did you take the vaccine? And he couldn't answer me. He could not answer me. He didn't say one word. He just could not answer me. He looked down. You know, and I could tell he was sorrowful at that moment. And I knew it. I knew he took it. I knew it. I'm like, wow. And whatever was in him came up to me and it started trying to wrestle with me. It was like, and I knew that the scripture came alive, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And I could see it now. I was like, oh. So he was like an open door, in other words. But he could not hold me. He could not wrestle with me because I was of the Lord. And then I looked out the window, and I started seeing the storms blowing. And I looked out, and I started seeing everything that was outside. And it was kind of, the winds were crazy. They were like I've never seen them. I seen storms like I've never seen before. I seen lightning striking like I've never seen before. Tornadoes. There was signs in the wind. There was signs in the weather. It was like the weather was crying out for the Lord's return. It was like the earth. This is what I felt in my spirit. It was like the earth right now is crying out for the Lord's return. The earth is. And I felt that in my spirit. It was like the earth is crying out with the volcanoes and with everything moving and shifting. It's like it's crying out because man has polluted it so much. And as I was seeing all that going on outside, I seen great destruction. There was great destruction to the left, great destruction to the right. You know, and I could see that there was war that was taking place. I could see that people had no electricity. People had no food. People had no, you know, they didn't have any bearing. Their normal lives, the lives that they have even right now to this day, it was completely different. It was completely different. And I looked up in heaven and I seen that it was a little gap in the air. It was like a little gap. It was like a minute window open. And at that point, I was able to take off and fly. So I'm flying all around the city, and I'm looking, and I'm not tired, man. I noticed that I wasn't tired. I wasn't tired at all. And I seen the enemy. I seen the enemy, and he was on the ground, waiting on me to land, so he could try to grab me and keep me here. But I looked up, and I said, "Father, I'm coming, Father. Father, I'm coming. Hold it open for me, Father. I'm coming. I'm on my way up there, Father." And I started flying towards heaven. And I knew the enemy was trying to grab my leg to keep me here. And I was able to get up there. I was able to make it through, I made it through just by, it was like the hair on my leg. The door had shut. You know, and I wasn't focused. If I would have stayed focused on the things that's happening now or the things that's going on in this world right now, it would have kind of distracted me enough to where I would have got left behind. But when I focus my sight on going up with the Lord, I focus my sight on going up. I was able to go higher. I was able to repent more. And that's one thing I want to stress to you tonight. Repenting. repenting is there's nothing that you could do that's going to get you into heaven on your own power. There's nothing that you could do. What you do is you get on your knees and you ask God to forgive you. You ask God. The Lord does all the work. You can't earn your way into heaven. The simplest thing you could do is just come before God and say, Father, what do you want me to do? What do I have on me? Please forgive me. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. The higher you want to go up with the Lord, the more you get down and you ask God to forgive you. And that every time in the spirit, I see the same thing every time in the spirit. The lower you go on the ground and you break yourself before the Lord, the higher you go in the spirit. The more you ask God to forgive you, the more you get down in communion with the Lord, the higher you go, the stronger you get. If you're not repenting as much, you're not going to be strong. If you're not reading, and that was the other thing I seen in the spirit, there's not that many Christians. The Christians are the children or the saints. They're looking weak in the spirit. They're not feeding on the word. You got to feed yourself on the word. They're starving themselves. They might read a couple scriptures every day, and that's all they give. Well, it's in the spirit. Let me explain to you real quick. In the spirit, it's like the physical. If you go, let's say you go 2 or 3 weeks without eating, your body's going to get skinny. Your body, your muscle mass is going to go down to nothing, you know, unless the Lord is helping you. But if you can't eat, your body's going to shrink and you're going to look malnourished. Well, that's how it happens in the spirit. If you're not feeding on the word of God daily, you're not feeding on God's word and digesting it in your spirit. Your spirit is growing off of the word. When you sit down and you read the word and you commune with God, your spirit grows and it flourishes, and then all of a sudden you're a strong man in the spirit because you're connected to the life force. You got a connection with Jesus. You're holding on to Jesus. Jesus is divine, and you're the flower. You're the branch. And you're growing and you're maturing and you're producing fruit. And it's the same thing I've seen in the spirit. But you start letting yourself go. You start letting yourself go away. And then your spirit starts shriveling. Your spirit looks weak. It looks frail. You can't fight the enemy in that state. You can't fight the enemy in that state. You will not win. You will not win. You can't go and cast demons out. You can't go and rebuke the demon devil out of your house in that state. You got to feed yourself. You got to grow in the word. And then you'll be a stronghold in the spirit. So, you know, and going back to flying and going up with the Lord and going up and, you know, going up to another level with the Lord. We got to constantly grow. We got to grow in our faith. We got to grow from faith to faith and glory to glory. And we're constantly growing up. We can't be like, you know, we got to be like Moses. When Moses and in the book of Exodus, God brought Moses to the mountain, and Moses said, Lord, let me come up. I want to see God. I want to go up there and see God. Well, not only am I going to go up there and see God as the burning bush, I want to go up there and see God more. I want to grow with the Lord. Then Moses finally told the Lord, he said, Lord, let me see your glory. Let me see your glory, Lord. Let me see you, Lord. And God said, hey, I can't show you my glory because you'll die, and you got to die for Jesus Christ, so then that way you could be born again. But hey, I'm gonna put my arm up and I'm gonna walk by and put you on the rock, and you can see my back parts. You can see the back part of my glory, and then that glory is gonna fill you. And you, when you go back down the mountain, the people down there, they're gonna be scared of you. Saints, that is for everybody. That's just not for Moses. That's just not for Brother Elvie. It's not just for me. It's not for any of the other. It's not for any of the other prophets. It's for every follower of Jesus. Everyone that's spiritually awake. It's for all of us to grow in the glory of God. God wants all of us to come up to the mountain. We can't be like the Israelites. Hey, Moses, speak for us. Talk to us. We can't be like that. Hallelujah. God wants us all to grow up there. And, you know, to get back to where we're going to be at today, where we're going to be in the next month, the Lord showed me. I seen that, let me take a drink of water real quick. I'm sorry, my throat got a little parched. I seen that they rounded all of us up, the unvaccinated, because everybody else were pointing their fingers at us, stating that we were the cause of this new variant. We're the ones, we're the problem. Everybody's pointing their finger at us. And, you know, and that goes back to Matthew. You know, in the book of Matthew, you know, it says we shall be hated. And everybody, they're going to be pointing their fingers at us saying, hey, you're the problem. So they rounded all of us up. And they put some of us in FEMA camps, or I've seen us in some type of camps. And then I've seen how they were shooting people with drugs to make them say yes to the vaccine. The things that they have in store is bad, but that's why we gotta be focused on what God says, what He wants us to do. Because God might tell you, leave. God might tell you to go here, go there. There's going to be safe spots open up. You know, even in jail, God will translate you. If you go to jail for the Lord and you're serving the Lord, God is unlimited, just like He did for Paul. Just like He did for Paul and Peter in those days, there was when the persecution came. Over in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, verse 40, it talks about Paul and Silas. They praised their way out of their cuffs. And we're going to have to use praise as a weapon. And me and Brother Elvie was talking. We were talking about how the Lord said in his word that we got to turn the other cheek. Well, I don't want to get hit, man. Getting hit hurt. You get punched in your cheek or get kicked in your ribs, that stuff hurt. It's hard to turn the other cheek. Sometimes you got to go ahead and leave. You got to leave the situation. And I do believe that we're going to be seeing the days. I seen the day that I was in, the Lord showed me that my brother turned me in. He showed me that my brother called. I was on the run. And I was being chased by them, trying to get me to go into their camps. I didn't want to go, and I made it over to one of my brothers with that. And the Lord showed me my brother turned me, and he called and he turned me in and said, "I got a family, I got to feed." And I wasn't mad at him. You know, I still had compassion on him, but you know, it was like I'm in need. I'm hurt. And the Lord showed me that, and that scripture came to life, how the people in your own household will be the ones that's going to turn against you. That scripture came to life for me. And I was like, oh, wow, now I see the word is being fulfilled. And, you know, God's word will be fulfilled. And that's what we're doing right now. We're watching God's words being fulfilled before our very eyes. So when we get to heaven, we can give a testimony of what God done for us. Because God is still in control. God is still watching everything that's going on right now. And God will make a way for you. You just got to listen to see where the Lord leads you to or what the Lord does for you. God showed me that when the Russians came, that I was in a warehouse in another vision, and I seen the Russian tanks and the Russian troops outside of the warehouse, and I prayed, and God made the warehouse that I was in invisible to them. They couldn't see it. So God is in control. God is protecting his children, and he's ready to perform miracles for his children. You know, we just got to be there. We got to ask God, Lord, whatever you want of me, you know, now is the time to be seeking the Lord. Like the Isaiah, chapter 55 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now we got to seek the Lord. We got to seek the Lord like we never seek the Lord before. Now is the time to put down everything that you're putting before the Lord. You know, now is the time that we got to stay focused on the Lord. You know, I try to keep something, I try to keep some godly music playing in my ear all the time while I'm listening to some preaching. I'm trying to keep myself as a sacrifice. The Bible says we got to keep, make ourselves a holy and living sacrifice before the Lord. Amen. That's it, brother. Today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. You can't put it off no longer. There's no more. There's very, very, very little time left. Very little time left. Yeah, and I always try to listen to the word, or I listen to someone preaching when I go to sleep, just to try to remind myself and keep myself and keep my spirit upon the Lord. And I just praise him. You go through it, you know, now we have these earbuds and stuff like that. I'll put an earbud in my ear, and I just walk and speaking in tongues on my earbud. Everybody think I'm talking to somebody else. But no, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm praising the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. I'm growing in my faith, and, you know, and I recommend that's something that you do. You know, it's going to be things like that that we're going to have to do to get over the days that's going to be coming in our near future. Everything is about to change for us. Everything is about to change. And then the great revival is coming, and then we're going home. It's going to be just a short time, short time. You know, short while longer that we got to continue going through this. And then once we get up in heaven, everything is going to be all peaches and cream. It's going to be, hey, I'm in heaven now. Now I can rest. Now I can enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant. I'm so desperately want to hear the Lord say that. I want to hear the Lord say that, hey, enter into the joy of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant. Well, when you get there, here, change into these garments. And, oh, yeah, not only that, put the crown on. Put this crown on. Get radiant. And come, let's come to the wedding celebration. I seen the wedding celebration. I seen the women had long white gowns on, and the men had, like, long, super white tuxedos, and they were glowing. The gowns had all kind of pretty jewels on them and stuff that you've never seen before. And they were glowing with the radiance of God, the glory of God, and the tuxedos. They were glowing with God's glory all around them, and it's ready. Everybody's stuff is up there in heaven ready. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if you don't make it to heaven, I pray you do, but your plate is going to be there. Your mansion is already there. There's people with mansions in heaven, and the Lord is, they're turning their backs on the Lord, and the Lord is just going to close their mansion. I'll say, Lord, give me their mansion. I'll take it. Give me their plate. I'll take it. I don't want to. But they turn their back on God right now, they're foolish. They turn around and they leave out of God's hands. They're foolish. And this is where I've seen how we were climbing up the mountain, and the Lord showed me this giant mountain that reached all the way into heaven. And there were saints that was walking up this mountain. They were scaling this mountain. And I seen some of the saints turn around and go back. I seen some of the saints, they got stuck where they were at, and they said, you know what, I'm just going to stay here. They got complacent. And then I seen other saints pressing forward. They get all the way to the top of this mountain. And then at the top of the mountain was heaven. That was it. And heaven reached all the way, the mountain reached all the way up into heaven. And everybody had to climb up this mountain. Everybody had to climb up this mountain. And there was places that was extremely hard for people to climb up, that they needed the Lord to help them climb up. And, you know, I got to a couple places where I had to look up and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And then God would help me come up to the next level. But he's calling all of his children right now up to him. Come up. Come up and get in the ship. Get in the ship, because the door is going to close. And once the door closes, that's it. It's done. There's no going back. You know, now we have the time to do that. Now we have the time to pray and seek and ask God, close the doors. Ask God to search our hearts. Now is the time. Because the trumpet is going to sound. And I was doing a Bible study on the trumpets. And there's the trumpets in Revelation. And there's so much that's linked up with the trumpets. The trumpets are going to start sounding. And, oh, my God, I've heard some of the trumpets sound. They're already sounding. They have videos of the trumpets sounding that they don't even know where these sounds are coming from. There's videos on YouTube. All you got to hear is type in is like large trumpet sounds, and you can just hear the trumpet blowing over the whole land. You can hear it just blowing over the whole land, and these trumpets are sounding one after another, and then next thing you know, the last trumpet is going to sound, and we're going to be out of here. We're going to go. We're going to go. Amen, brother. Brother Albert, you there?
Yes, brother.
Yeah, did
amen.
You see that? Did you see the mountain, brother?
Did you see the mountain, brother?
I seen the mountain, and it's awesome. Talking about the mountain of God?
Yes, amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Yes. I turned back from the mountain because I knew if I kept going, I would end up in paradise. So I said, no. I said, Lord, send me back. Send me back, Lord. One last time. And he said, there's nothing left. That's when he says to me, there's nothing left. And I said, Lord, okay, just let me go back. Thinking of the brothers and sisters, my children that are too small for me to go into the rest. He said, go rest, my son, he says to me. And I kept asking the Lord, please, Lord, send me back. Send me back. I've been given lately envision being on the other side, seeing myself on the other side with brothers and sisters after we enter in. And the things that we were celebrating and rejoicing with one another so much that what Brother Benjamin is talking about tonight, I heard it from the other side, him talking about these things. Okay? Okay. All right, brother. I understand. Shalom. And before he talked about these things tonight, I was in the other side, and I was listening to Brother Benjamin from the other side in the days to come. It's like every single day to come, it is so... We are so close to be going home. For some reason, when I'm allowed to see the days to come, it's like I can see what's going to come in every other day. Like 3 or 4 days ago, I heard my brother Benjamin talking about the trumpet. And a few seconds ago when he said the study about the trumpet that he was doing, I knew that he came on the Lord's Hour because I heard him from this day, but back then, that he will be here and he will be talking about the trumpet. And it just resonated in my spirit, like, remember you hearing this? And I'm like, okay, wow. Okay, we're close. It's close before the rat, the church enter in. There's a few things that must happen, has to happen, because the Lord said it has to happen before we go in. That's for sure. God's plan, God's promises never fail, my brother and sister. He's never late. He's always on time. And everything he says is going to come to pass. Okay? I don't know how many of you heard me saying last year that by the end of this year, maybe going into 22, we will be going into persecution. It's recorded on the archive. Some of you can go back to me talking about this in 2020. Let that be November, December of 2020. I was talking about this on the Lord's Hour because I saw it. I saw it coming. And to me, relating it within time, I knew it would be, I believe I said either November, September, November, or December, or even going into the new year, I saw persecution over the church. I also share that you can go back and listen to it, that I saw them coming into my house, the army, knocking on my door, asking us if we were vaccinated. Okay? Joe Biden has put a team together of people to go door to door in the 48 states. Only two states have said no. They're still doing it in office because according to Biden and his secretary said, there's nothing illegal for them to be going door by door knocking to make sure people are vaccinated. Okay? Now it's not into law yet, but it will be. They will begin the persecution of making sure everyone is vaccinated. They will get tougher before they put the law into place. First, it's like they're acting a kindness to people, where people feel comfortable and say, well, that's not going to happen in the United States. Because usually that's what a lot of people are saying. But that's not going to happen. Our Constitution here will not allow them to do that. And so we know how everything is being placed in ways that are contrary to the Constitution. Next Sunday, and I thank Brother Benjamin for coming on. Thank you, brother. He said he has to go. Next Sunday we'll have Brother John. And Brother John will share more light into this topic next Sunday. My brother and sister from Minnesota, he is awesome. He keeps up to date with all this stuff. He was telling me on the phone, I said, brother, I would like to have you on the Lord's Hour and share the things that you're talking to me about. Amen, because they'll be recorded and then we'll remember. We can always go back. And he said, yes, he'll come with us on Sunday, my brother and sister. I'll try to bring more people to share on these things because the Lord is giving people so much information on what is happening, even things that you don't hear on the media, you will hear from them. And so it's better for us to be informed. Now, Sister Rieta, they sent me that in Argentina and India, they are forcing people to be vaccinated with COVID-19 vaccine. She sent me the link, my brother and sister, to my email. Okay, maybe she can go ahead and post it on the chat room for the brothers and sisters to follow the link. Okay, they are going to force the vaccine worldwide. And the reason why is the enemy going after people is because the enemy know how harmful the vaccine is. Now, we never said that the Lord cannot take the vaccine from people's body. The Lord can do anything. There's nothing the devil can do that Jesus cannot reverse, okay? He came to destroy the work of the devil, the Bible says, in Acts chapter 10, okay? He came to destroy the work of the devil. It doesn't matter what the devil does, the Lord can destroy it. But one thing that Jesus indicated to me, he said it to me, his own word, they must do sincere repentance. Okay, those that are vaccinated, when they take the vaccine or medication that will remove the vaccine out of their body, they must do first sincere repentance. So a lot of people who are taking the vaccine who think is a greater thing, my brother and sister, than the day they invent the lie or whatever. They're wrong. And they're going to stay in there lest they do sincere repentance. Now, I also believe that the revival that is coming, God is talking about this revival. He had not forgotten that there are people that we are praying for that he wants to save, okay? And so let me get a word that the Lord gave the sister from Canada this week in regard to the revival, because the revival is going to happen, my brother and sister, okay? That's something that the Lord said it would happen. And he made a promise that it will come, and he's not going to fail us. He's not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man that he will repent. Okay? So keep in mind that the Lord said that he will bring in his revival. Okay? And what I'm seeing from Jesus is, okay, in this revival is going to be supernatural revival. So first of all, he's going to change his bride and use his bride in a supernatural way. What I heard is that he's going to suspend the natural for the supernatural to flow. Okay? Suspend the natural for the supernatural to flow. Okay? And so that's what the revival will be about. This revival has been prophesied for more than 100 years in the United States. Okay? The Shakers in the United States, which with the first Christian believer, well-known and well-recognized in the United States, very powerful, used by God, they prophesied the revival. God told them about the revival coming in the last days before he departed his bride from the earth. Okay? So it's nothing new. It's something that's been prophesied for over 100 years. And what he's been showing us is a confirmation of what he's going to do. Because so those people that he have them prophesy the revival are in heaven next with Jesus, next to Jesus. They see his face every day. Okay? And he told them he was bringing this revival in the last day. Okay? So of course he's going to fulfill his word. He's going to fulfill his word, my brother and sister. That we know. That we know. Okay? The revival is a promise. Okay? And like he said, heaven and earth will pass, but not his word. Word will not come, will pass. Okay? He's going to fulfill his word. So we can trust the Lord for this revival to come and for him to use us supernaturally. I had a question about it. I said, Lord, you're still going to use me. And he reminded me, and he told me, yes, you are one of them I had chosen for the revival. So that's going to come to pass. You know, so much time has gone by, and now it's so close that, you know, we keep asking, we keep praying, we keep interceding, my brother and sister. But what I saw this morning, was the church in on the other side. Okay? Shalom, Sister Renee. And the church was receiving gifts, reward from the Lord. And I can see the brothers and sisters like jumping up and down in joy. But a group of people. Okay? And it was being revealed to us that everything we had done until this point, the Lord was revealing it to us, showing it to us. Like every word you heard until now, okay, it's written in heaven. Everything we have done until this point is written in heaven. And it will be played to us. What I was seeing was like an audio video play, being shown to us, the bride, the things that's been happening or said until this moment. Okay? It's incredible. I was blown away by seeing that and seeing the people. Even to what Brother Benjamin said today, I heard that 3 days ago when he talked about the trumpet. He said he was doing a study of the trumpet. And I was, whoa, because I heard it this morning again. For some reason, I was allowed to see into it again to the other side and see when the bride will be there. And it was a reminder because you keep asking, when is the rapture? When are we going home? Is this happening in this century? And the answer is yes. And it's we're practically there is what I was seeing. Church is practically in heaven. It's just these events must happen. The rapture is not going to be too long. It's not something that's going to go on for years. It's short, but it's powerful. Okay? It's powerful. And it will work. It will bring people in. Okay? And the condition how people are going to find themselves to come in, that's another thing. Because God has to get the whole world into this. The revival is worldwide. And someone said, a lot of people have a misunderstanding that the revival is just for America. No. The revival is a promise to God worldwide. Because I had a brother close to Europe that says to me, Brother Elvie, God's been telling us about this revival for years. And I'm waiting for it, he says. Okay, and he says, I believe it's going to happen here before it happens in America. That I cannot tell you. Because Jesus showed me a few weeks ago this revival happening here. But I don't know if it's already happening in another country. He just showed me happening here. And when he was showing me the transformation, okay, for the revival, the people he had chosen, elected, selected. And one thing Jesus showed me is he himself has selected these people. God has selected, elected these individuals, okay, who are repenting now and seeking him with all their heart for the revival. Okay, their family is going to be saved. Okay, their family, God promised to save those that are serving him. Okay, and that is that whomsoever, because God knows everything, God has promised to save their family. He's going to save them. Okay, because the Lord reminded me, do not say the family of so-and-so, I will not save because I made them a promise. So don't say anything in regard to that. Okay? It are those, all of those that he made promise to. And even those that are coming in, that are praying for the family, now their family fall under the promise of the Lord. Okay? I'm going to read a few verses about his promise so you understand how firm his promises are. And that right from the beginning, God's people who believe in God's promises, my brother and sister, okay, he has been faithful. God has been faithful. And God don't change, okay? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. He started with the children of Israel. He started with Abraham, but I'm going to go to the children of Israel. Exodus 12:25. And it shall come to pass that when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, then ye shall keep this service. Okay? But look how God is speaking to them, my brother and sister. A reminder of what God had already promised. You see, God stands on his promise. God stands on his word when he speaks to you and I. Okay? Thank you, Lord. What an awesome God. We serve, my brother and sister. Deuteronomy 1:11. The Lord God, excuse me, of your father, make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he shall promise you. God promised, and his promise, he put in his desire to multiply his people, his children, my brother and sister. Because he said, the Lord your God of your father made you 1,000 times so many more as you are, to multiply them. My brother and sister, that is incredible. Now, Deuteronomy 6:3. Hear therefore, O Israel, assert to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God thy Father hath promised thee in the land that flow with milk and honey. The increase of the family or of his people, my brother and sister, and that increase, it goes with everything. Everything you will have, everything you will need, God will supply it increasingly, my brother and sister, and will increase you as a people, increase you as your family, okay? And it's all about his promise, all about his promise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Deuteronomy 12:20. And when the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border, as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because I so longer to eat flesh, thou may eat flesh whatsoever thy soul lusteth. So, what was talking about me, that they will eat me. Okay? The Lord God made them a promise that they would in the land they will go, that flow with milk and honey. And they will have me, plenty of me. They will have everything that they will need when they would enter into the land, my brother and sister. God's promises endure forever, because God endured forever, okay? God endured forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what Brother Benjamin said also, that the Lord right now is starting to fulfill his promises in regard to his blessing in the last day. Yes, he is. That is so true. For now is the time. Okay? Because the Lord is telling me to move now to the place close to where we're going to have a community. Now the word of the Lord came. Move, move. Okay? And I'm doing just that, my brother and sister. Okay? We found a place. We believe this place. I asked the Lord for a sign that it will have the seven and a heavenly name. Okay? And that's exactly what he's given me. Biblical heavenly name. Okay? And the name, let me look it up quickly. So you see how God is in control with everything, my brothers and sisters. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The name of the street is Macedonia. Macedonia. Acts 16:9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man in Macedonia beseeching him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Okay? Help us. That's exactly what I'm going to Macedonia for. Acts 16:10. And after he has seen this vision, immediately we endeavor to go into Macedonia, assuredly concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. God calling them to come and preach the gospel in Macedonia, my brother and sister. Okay? Totally biblical. Thank you, Lord, for that. Okay? This is the sign I asked the Lord for. Okay? And he is fulfilling it. Fulfilling, fulfilling, fulfilling. Everything is in the hand of the Lord. It's how he chooses to do. My brother and sister, you cannot. I said also we can ask for a sign. He'll give us a sign or two. Gideon asked for a sign. Okay? And he got his sign from the Lord. And he asked it from one way and then asked for the other way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, you do want to be ready because as the Lord's been telling Sister Barbara, the economy is going to soon. Okay? We know that we're entering into a seven-year famine. How long will we be in the famine? I said, what was it, last year, I said on the Lord's Tower that I had a revelation from the Lord previously that I saw us in the famine. Okay? We were being blessed. God's people, we have food and water because Father promised him we would have it. Okay? We would have it. But the rest of the world, the rest of the people in the United States were struggling just to eat. Okay? Now, Brother Benjamin says he saw Donald Trump coming into office and saying, we are broke, we have no more money. Okay? There's a lot of prophecy of Donald Trump coming back into office. Okay? Okay? I just saw I knew I was in the tribulation that Donald Trump was president at one time. Remember I shared that on the Lord's Hour? And Sister Michelle and other brothers and sisters was asking me, Brother Levy, Donald Trump is not in office again. Why are you saying that you saw him in the Great Tribulation, like the last president, or he was still in office? Okay. And I said, for some reason, I don't know how it's going to happen. I saw him back into office. I knew he was back in office. Brother Benjamin had the dream from the Lord that he was back into office. Many people have gotten the same revelation. How God does things, we don't know. But he's almighty, and he's able to do anything. That we know. Okay? That's why we don't sit there and question and say, well, how is that going to happen? Because, more than 67 now, percent of the people want him back. And that number is increasing and increasing. A lot of people notice that if he would have been still being in office, everything would have been better. Biden had not signed out checks from his own office that Donald Trump did not left in place before he came out of office. Every check that you receive from the government, an assistant for food or whatever, came because Donald Trump left signing enough, before he left office, left these checks signed to be given to the people. And that's what's been sent to the people. And Biden has taken the credit. But Biden has not signed no check to be given to the people yet. Yet. And I said before Biden came into office that they will not give money to the people. People cannot expect to receive a check from him. Okay? That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Obama's still in office, and they are misspending the money like crazy, like you cannot even imagine. They're giving it to Iran and other nations, but not to the people here that really needs the money. That is not going to happen. It was never the plan, and they're never going to do it. And you're going to, if you believe they are, you're going to see it with your own eyes. You're not going to get a penny from them. This is why we trust the Lord only. We trust Jesus only. We don't trust men. Okay? We trust Jesus. We seek him. We follow him. We cry out to him, my brother and sister. Okay? Because there was a lot of people who voted for Biden, thought they were going to receive assistance from him. And how many have we lost their home, their apartment, their so much they have lost. And they're brokenhearted and saying, how did this happen? I thought they were going to help us. We bought it for him. You don't trust in man. You trust in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's the one you should trust. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Deuteronomy 15:6. For the Lord thy God blesses thee as he hath promised thee. Look how everything is based on his promise. When he tells you he's going to do something, he does it. That's why you're here standing today, my brothers and sisters, seeking the Lord. Because the Lord made the promise to bless you, to keep you. Okay? May the Lord keep you. It's the first word out of the prayer by the priest. May the Lord keep you. Okay? So you're here because the Lord's been keeping you. For the Lord God blesses thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations. But thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. This has been the fact in America. America has been a nation who has lent to many nations. But in the last 30 years, America has been borrowing money like they never borrowed before. They own billions and some believe trillions to China. And that's why any policy against China is not going to work, because China can increase the interest on those billions and trillions of dollars. And they have already. How much of that can we pay? Can the nation pay? Okay? Printing money is not the way out. Printing money is like borrowing money. Okay? Praise the Lord. So that's the fact. That's the fact. What we do in politics is we don't get involved in politics, but we pray for God to put a man in office that can direct the nation on the right path that needs to go. That's it. And God can do that, my brothers and sisters. It's God who places kings, it's God who removes kings. Deuteronomy 19:8. And as the Lord thy God enlarged thy border, he has sworn unto thy father to give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy father. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy 23:23. Thou which is gone out of the list that thou shalt keep and perform, even free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou promised with thy mouth. Okay? So God makes promise, he keeps. But he also expects us to keep our promise from free will. Free will. Okay? Freely. Freely you receive, freely you give, the Bible says. Okay? Deuteronomy 26:18. And the Lord hath avouched thee that this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, that thou shalt keep all his commandments. Okay? We've been chosen to keep his commandment, and we cannot do it without Jesus' help, because he has been the only one that has kept Father commandment, has kept all the law. Jesus has kept all the law. And all men have done it, broke the God commandment, broke them. So in order for us to keep them, we need the Lord's help. We need to have Jesus living in us, through us, helping us to keep God's commandment. It is the only way, my brother and sister. So submitting our life to him is the best thing any human being can do. Seeking his will, for his will to be done and not our own. That should be our daily prayer. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. God, not my will. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That should be our prayer every day. The beginning of prayer or the end of prayer. We should be praying to be holy, to be righteous, to be pure. We should be praying for God to help us keep his commandment every day, my brother and sister. Okay? Very, very important. Hallelujah. It's part of our prayer. Deuteronomy 27:3, and thou shalt write upon them all the words which the law, when thou art passed over. Okay? And to the land which the Lord hath given thee, the land that flow with milk and honey, as the Lord thy father hath promised thee. Again. Anything God says to you is, or everything God gives to you is something he already promised to you. Okay? Praise the Lord. And most of it is what you already have asked him to do. He showed me in a vision the other day that our prayer requests before him are going to be answered very soon. But this soon, when he showed me this, it was like everyone was saying, my prayer has been answered. God answered my prayer. It was like all at once, but in a special way. And it was actually more than what we prayed for. He was giving us, my brother and sister, in the days to come. He showed me in the days to come, I'm going to answer my people's prayer. Like all of it, my brother and sister, all of it. And he said, because there is a time and a season for this. And it said in my, and it's in my words. Okay? A time and a season for me to answer. And the time and season for me to answer is coming here. Okay? And so this is why he's telling us to move to these different places. Putting us in places where we are going to receive them. Okay? To receive the blessing. Some of us will have to move. Some of you don't have to move. But your prayer answers are about to come down over your life. So, ye have not, Jesus said, because you ask not. So, don't fail to ask God for the things you need, your family need. Okay? And don't be greedy with your prayer. Ask God to bless your family also, as he blesses you, as he answers your prayer. Hallelujah. And, you know, whatever you're asking God for, it'll be a house, a car, whatever it is. Make sure God, you ask God for the same for the other people. Mostly the salvation of your family. the salvation of your family will be granted very soon. And that's what this revival is about. I've been reminded of this. Thank you, Lord. Here's the Lord saying, yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Because he was telling me this as I was asking him, what am I going to say to the people? And he began to tell me, this is what I want you to say. I'm going to answer their prayer. The prayer request will be answered. And the time and the season is coming. It's approaching. It's here. Fast. Okay? Thank you, Lord. I remember saying to the people, you may want to write down your prayer request before the Lord. Because, you know, you'll rejoice more when you look up your notebook and you say, this is what I pray, and this is what the Lord has answered me now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, being patient with the Lord is important because it's the time and the season. And it's been said of our fathers who they got their prayer answered in the time and season. It's not when you and I want. It's when God say, okay, you may say today, God say tomorrow. You may say this week, God says next month. So it's when God say, because he knows the timing is perfect. And he talked to me about the season for prayer to be answered is approaching. My brother and sister. And I saw the reward being handed over this morning. In my vision, in my dream, it was like having a dream, but in the dream I was having a vision. Because I was looking into where the Lord was granting the reward to his children. He first spoke to me about the prayer, him answering the prayer, the season for the prayer to be an answer, that we're entering into the season. And then he began to show me people receiving gifts. And I saw people jumping up and down, brothers and sisters from here, from the Lord's hour. My brother and sister, and that to me was, wow, thank you, Lord. And there was a lot of people prayer would be an answer. And he said, it's the season. It's a season. This is what I want you to say. It's a season for the prayer to be answered. So please, when you go to prayer tonight, please don't forget to remind the Lord of about your family. Ask, because Jesus talked to me. He says to me, I'm going to save their family, my children's family. The prayer request for the family that are coming to him, he says, I'm going to save them, he says to me. As my children been asking. So please, 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 hallelujah, pray for your family to be safe. That's better than you asking for a car or a house. Please understand the timing and the season, okay? Because once the economy falls, the great earthquake comes, having a house and a car, it won't help us much, okay? It's not going to help us much. But having your family stay coming to the Lord, you know, that's salvation is eternal. They can go to heaven and be with the Lord forever. Your house down here, your car is not going to last forever. So prioritize what's more important. Prioritize your children, please. Your immediate family. Prioritize for them to be saved, please. Okay? Look and see what's more important from what you want. Okay? Look and see what's more important. Because the Lord, yes, the Lord's going to grant what you're asking for. Because he showed me. Okay? But your salvation of your family is very important. Very, very important. And this is what this revival is for. If you don't pray for them to be saved, you're not going to get to go see them saved. Or you're not going to get to be sent to them. Or God's not going to send anyone to them if you're not praying for them to be saved. So this is why your prayer for them is so important. Because you may say, Lord, if I go preach like Brother Benjamin was saying, there's no prophet in their own land. Or a prophet doesn't have an honor on their own land, sure. But the Lord can send one of his servants from another land to speak to your family and save them through them. They'll confess the Lord, receive Jesus, and be saved. And then you'll get to see that and rejoice and jump up and down. You see, but you need to pray for the Lord to send someone in the revival to go preach to them. Okay? They may not listen to you, but because you are praying for them, the Lord will use your prayer and say, well, I'll send someone for them to be saved. Okay? Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. And so that's coming. That is coming. You know, honestly, and I saw it. I know it was in the spirit. It's hard to give it a time, but it was like at the end of this year that I saw it. You know, I cannot sign that 100%, but that's how I saw it, the end of this year. It will be a petition being granted. Okay? This change coming. Change are coming that you're going to see in your nation. Okay? And God don't want us to worry and be concerned. We talked about last year about this summer that we just enter in this year. Are things changing and as Biden sending people door to door to knock on the door and make sure people are vaccinated? I spoke about this last year because he said, show me this. Okay? And I said, it looks to me like it's, I saw like this summer, it could be going into winter, but it's already happened since June. We're already in July. Since June, he's been sending people door to door to knock on people to make sure they're vaccinated. We're already in July. So I was not off. I was only off by maybe 2 weeks, or not even, because I said summer. Okay? I said summer, and summer did start at the end of June. Okay, so I was almost, I would say I was 97.7% accurate in regard to seeing this, okay, when I said it last year. 97.7% accurate of what I saw last year, that they will begin to go to people and make sure they're vaccinated. So that already happened. But the second part after that I saw is they are putting law into the books to pressure people. Now, I just saw on the news one of the congressmen telling Biden to put the vaccination into the hand of the army. That the army, this is coming from Congress. Congress prefer for the army to be going door to door to make sure people are vaccinated. That's what Obama wants and Hillary and them. Hey? And they're going to put that in the books. They're going to change law. They're going to get the army to go door to door to make sure people are vaccinated. And why the army? They bring fear. You have the army, you have a platoon knocking on your door, a group of men saying, are you vaccinated, sir? And you're like, it's going to make a lot of people nervous. This is practically here. Because when the Lord showed me this, what they're doing now, after that came that. And it was much difficult. And for some reason, I knew the year was not over yet. 21 was not over yet. When I saw them doing this, and we're still in 21. I saw it last year in 2020. Okay? And then Jesus showed me more coming this year before it's over. He showed me the persecution beginning in 2021. By the end of 2021, last year, he showed me this. That before 21 is over, persecution breaks against the church. Okay? Persecution. Army going door to door, making sure people are vaccinated. This year, I saw it last year, before this year is over. Okay? And so far, I've been 97.7 accurate in regard to it, my brother and sister, of what Jesus showed me. Thank you, Lord. I said it last year. It's hard to put a time on these things, but this is how the Lord showed it to me. And Jesus did show me 2021. This is the blowing mind, and I was afraid to even talk about it last year, but I did. I took a step of faith. I said, the Lord showed it to me. I'm not going to back away from this. I'm just going to speak it out. It's recorded. It's in the archive. I can play it back again. So I saw a message. I gone back and just to play it back. Okay? I have the one here, which I was going to play in a few, but I'll leave it maybe for tomorrow. When I said that I saw the people that were being vaccinated looking like fallen angels, okay, that I went back to the archive and downloaded, okay, and just for when people hear that tomorrow night, they know exactly what we're talking about, because a lot of these things I said last year, 2020, and are happening this year, okay? We have Brother Michael from California share how his parent-in-law looked like fallen angel and in the hospital after being vaccinated, okay? So, my brothers and sisters, it just, and yes, a lot of people have moved out of the country, as I also said, that will begin to happen this year. Next year will be worse. Next year will happen in the U.S. in exodus like the United States has not seen before. And I believe it's in the beginning of next year. Okay? And much more is coming. Much more. Okay? Because I also share in one of the revelations where I saw creatures. How many of you remember the message of the cemetery, the revelation the Lord gave me at the cemetery? And then he showed me a creature that I never seen before. Never seen this creature before. Okay? There's been people that have been seeing creatures around the earth now in different places. And some of them are similar to what the Lord showed me. I was watching on YouTube the other night. Someone was talking about this. And the way they describe it, it was exactly how it was shown to me by the Lord last year. Jesus showed me this last year that will begin to happen this year. And there are already people seeing this stuff, shaking to the core, because they didn't expect to see it. Okay? And there are video online about this stuff. And so, but there's a time and season, hallelujah, okay? There's a time and season when things happen, okay? And when God says so. It's not just when the enemy wants it, when God says so. Okay? So, we just have to wait a little bit more to see some of these revelation coming to 100% fulfillment very soon. Okay? I heard the things are changing now. Okay? Things are changing now. Like the remember the suspend the natural so the supernatural can flow. Things are changing on in that regard right now, is what I heard. Okay, I wait to hear confirmation in regard to that, because the Lord will reveal it to other people, other prophet. Okay, other prophet. But I know also that in regard to the economy, they're changing coming. When the Lord says it's going to fall, what we need to do is pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Mercy triumph over judgment. We know that this is happening is judgment of God. But if we pray and then to see, the thing with God is how many are praying for this nation and the economy and all that. Okay? Because remember the conversation that Abraham had with God? Okay, will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? And then what did they went down to? 10? 10? Is there 10 in America righteous, repenting every day and seeking the Lord? Yes. So God's not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. So what did God want us to do? Pray and to see. My brother, look at the judgment in California. It's been delayed. It's not good for California for the judgment to keep being delayed. But God is having mercy for more people to be saved, to come to the Lord, come to salvation. So praying for them is a must, you know? So the judgment will come. The judgment will come. But as long as people being saved is better, it'll be better if it happens right after the rapture. Okay? Can it be done after the rapture? It's up to God. But he dare say to me that we will see these things happen before we are raptured. And that because a lot of people, when we began the Lord's hour in 2012, did not believe when I said we're going to see these signs before the rapture. But we're still here, and we are seeing a lot of signs coming through, my brother and sister. Okay? We're seeing a lot of them. We are also seeing his mercy. We're seeing mercy. We're seeing mercy triumph over judgment. Okay? We could have seen more judgment, but because we pray, we interceded for this nation. We pray for the people to be saved. We pray for the nation for God to have mercy. See? We are, my brother and sister, seeing mercy triumph over judgment. Okay? God is so merciful. Okay? And so every time you hear judgment, don't get mad. It's an opportunity for us to pray. That's what that is. Every time God speaks us judgment, take it serious. Okay? Take it serious and begin to pray for mercy for the nation. Judgment cannot triumph over mercy, but mercy triumph over judgment. So you go into prayer and say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Why? Because you and I are still here. There's so many people to be saved. But it's not that we're going to be here longer than what God has planned. Where God is seasoned, the rapture will come in his own season. Okay? Here's when in the book of Acts, the disciple, I want to read this to you, just as a reminder, at 1, when the disciple asked Jesus about restoring the kingdom of Israel, my brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, Act 1:6, and when they therefore had come together, they asked him, they were asking Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Notice how everything comes in a season. Because the kingdom of Israel was restored back in 1944. Almost 2,000 years after the disciple died, went to being with the Lord, after the Lord went to be here. It was not the season for the kingdom of Israel to be restored. My brother and sister, Israel is a young nation. It's one of the older ones, but it's young. Since it's been restored. Okay? So look what Jesus said back to them. That's the question they had. Look what he said. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father had put in his own power. When he said that God had put it in his own power, no one has the power to overpower God to change the season. No one. Absolutely no one has the power to overpower God to change the season. The season is when God says, so that's why the Lord says to me, we're entering into the season for prayer to be an answer. Okay? We're entering into the season of the revival. Everything is in the season. When I heard season, I said, okay, got it. God does everything in his season. That's why when the Pharisee, my brother and sister, were talking, when Jesus spoke to the Pharisee about the season of his coming, because there's even a season of his coming. Can you believe that? That even his coming is in a season? Psalm 104:19, he appointed the moon up for season and the sun knowing his time to go down. Okay? He appoints the season unto everything he does under the sun, under the moon. Here's a point in time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, thank you, Lord. I'm looking at the season. Hallelujah. Matthew 21:41. They said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will lay out his vineyard unto the husbandmen. Who shall render him the fruit in their season? Okay? God is the one who provides in the season. Thank you, Lord. There's another verse that I'm looking for. When Jesus talked to the Pharisee about the time of the season. And then Paul says to the church in 1 Thessalonians 5:1, but as the time and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. And then he tells them, okay, the sign to look for. Because it's always sign to look for. Okay? For ye yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. What did he say? The time and the season happens for the departure. When it comes, it's not something that you can point finger to. Yeah, you get signs of his coming for sure, earthquake in diverse places and all that. And we know that's been happening, okay? And so, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord, as the Lord comes, as a thief in the night, my brother and sister. Let me play this properly, this audio. I'll be back after this. Because sister, talk about the revival coming. Listen.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again today for another word from the Lord. Today is July the 9th of 2021. The word the Lord has given me to share today is not something he hasn't spoken about before. And so, though the concept of what the Lord is sharing is not new, I felt that it was important to him to be released, not only to understand what the plan of the Lord is, but to understand the heart of God, the Father, and of Jesus. Because though we may see God as far off, who has a series of events planned for the world and for its end and a new era afterward, we need to understand that these events are not empty, but they are filled with the love and compassion of God for mankind. And I believe that is the message that is to be brought forth today. To encourage those listening that God is not far off. He's an intimate God who is passionately in love with his creation. And yes, a time of judgment is coming upon those who do not receive the salvation that he offers and who are wicked because God is a holy God. But it's important to understand that God desires that none should perish. And so I hope as you listen to this word today, you will become more familiar with God's heart of love and see things from his perspective, that the end is coming, that there will be an end to things on earth as we know, and there will be a time of judgment. And we could say, well, why doesn't God bring his judgment upon the unjust in our world today? And there's a very good answer to why he doesn't. It's because of his love and his heart desire that every man, woman, and child would be saved. The scriptures tell us that there's one great event that takes place before the end, and that is the harvest. And for the harvest to come in, the Lord is releasing revival in our midst, giving every man, woman, and child the opportunity to hear his word and to be saved. As we go through this word, I hope you will open your heart to receive the message of God's love for you, for your loved ones, and for mankind in general. I'll begin reading scripture. Luke 15, verse 20 to 23. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This scripture passage speaks of the prodigal son who left his father's house to squander his wealth on wicked living. But when he came to his senses and repented of his sin, the father received him wholeheartedly with love and compassion. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father and his heart toward the prodigals. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This scripture passage is clear about God's love for all the people of the world, and that Jesus' mission in the earth was not to bring condemnation, but to bring salvation. Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This scripture too reveals the heart of compassion that God has for those who are lost, and his desire to send out those who would bring these into the kingdom of God. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So this scripture tells us that God's heart is to release his word into the world so that all may hear and have opportunity to be saved, and that this event of the harvest is the last event on God's timetable prior to the end. And for those listening today, I would like to encourage you that we are in the end of the end times, and the revival and the harvest are the greatest events to take place at the culmination of this age, and we are entering this time period. I'll begin reading the word. Increased activity, increased vision. I am birthing into you a revelation for the lost, a vision of the fields, says the Lord. I am giving you discernment like you have not yet known. Partake of my goodness. I am reaching out to you extending my hand and bringing healing to multitudes. Watch to see how I lift the bands and do an awesome work amongst the people. Backsliders will run to gather at the altar. Prodigals will turn back homeward. I am shifting things. No longer will my house be vacant, but it shall be full, says the Lord. A release of the prophetic giftings will usher in revival and an end time harvest. Catch the wind and sail with my plan. I have instructed many in the way of outreach. This is the day when the sinner shall turn his back on sin. I will collect these, gather them in, heal their diseases, and cause them to function in the call upon their lives. They are those least expected to be used of the Father that I will use. Call to me, reach out to me. I am not far off, but very near. I will give to you the desire of your heart, the Father's desire planted within you to house the lonely and feed the hungry, to be a father to the fatherless and a companion to the broken. Watch to see what I do, says the Lord, how I erase the past and bring about the future. You know that the present life is slipping away and a new day has dawned, a day of grandeur. I am opening the heavens and pouring out such a rain that no one will be able to run and hide from it. It is a rain of righteousness. Once again, I will bring conviction of sin to the hearts of the people. Once again, I will sanctify and bring hope to the hopeless. Broaden your view, your perspective. I will counsel, give guidance. I will do those things that you consider a burden. I will work through the problems. Just as I promised, I will heal the brokenhearted, give sight to the blind, and release the captives out of captivity, says the Lord. I am an awesome God who continues to seek and save that which is lost. I am not like an earthly father who only thinks of himself. My heart beats with compassion for the children, and I will fulfill my mandate to you to heal and restore your children into right relationship with me. Watch to see how I send manna from heaven into a dry and desert place. Watch to see how I usher down my blessings as rain upon those who have been broken and helpless. Do not think that I will not supply every need. Do not think that I would not want to bring refreshing into the lives of those who have wandered aimlessly in a desert land. I hear the cries of the people. I hear the heart cry, and I will answer and I will heal, says the Lord. Forgive and restore back all the cankerworm has eaten. These are the days you are living in. This is the day when the harvest fields shall be harvested, when the outcast will be welcomed in, and the Lord's house shall be full. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare for his coming to the nations. Declare his handiwork. Tell of his awesome deeds. Make known the mysteries being revealed in this day to his servants, the prophets. Make known the heartbeat of the Father to this generation. You will see that the ears of the hearers are opening and the message is being received. I am opening the portals, says the Lord. Soon a free flow of the word will flood the earth. Have I not said I would build my house and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Well, this is the way in which the house shall be built. I am sending my word forth to reach the ends of the earth. And I am positioning my apostles to give counsel to those who err. I am birthing my kingdom into the hearts of men, and the building shall go up as per plan. Rejoice and be glad, for I have called and appointed many to the task, says the Lord. I have increased and stepped up my ranks. Watch to see how I bring order and reconciliation within the body and order into the house. Divine purpose, divine intervention shall take place. Be ready to be ushered forward. So I hope all of you listening to this word have caught a hold of God's heartbeat for the nations. He is extending himself in this day to bring in the harvest, and he is putting his heart into the hearts of his people who will function in his compassion to reach the lost. And all of this in preparation for the end, which is the Lord's return. Thank you for listening today.
Thank you for listening today.
Have a great afternoon.
Have a great afternoon.
And we'll talk to you the next time.
Bye for now.
There we go. Thank you, Jesus. What a great word. Thank you, Jesus, to encourage us to continue our way on the Lord's promises. My brothers and sisters, Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, faithful God, who keeps the covenant and mercy with them that love him and that keep his commandment to 1,000 generations, my brother and sister. He keep his word, he keep his promise. Amen. So I was telling him, what am I going to say on the Lord Yahweh? What word do you want me to share? And he began to talk to me about answering his children's prayer. We're entering into that season of him answering prayer. We've been there before. We have seen it. And there are a few that have been asking the Lord for salvation of their family and many other things that they need. Now is their season for them to receive from the Lord what the Lord has promised his people. Praise your Lord. What an awesome God we serve. We don't know the season necessarily, because God can do as he pleases, as he knows what's best for us. And that's exactly what he does for us, my brother and sister. Amen. He does as he knows that we need, my brother and sister. And he knows exactly what we need. Okay? Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's what this revival and promise is at home for. Okay? It's unto you, your children, to all who are far off. Doesn't matter who you're praying for. Doesn't matter the distance with God. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Shall call is future. Anyone you're praying for that you want them to come to the Lord, that's what this revival is for. The first revival is after chapter 2. And this is when the Apostle Peter was speaking about the revival. Now, this end time, last reign revival, is for the promises unto you. It's a promise unto us, your children, to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. This revival is worldwide. So many people around the world are going to come to the Lord. Some say billions. My brother and sister, millions, billions, only the Lord knows. Because some people started asking, started praying, but then stopped. So we don't know how many are really praying and persevering in their prayer. And they're asking God. But we're hoping, because it's a promise for everyone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God fulfilled his promise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 7:17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, came close, which God swore unto Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. See, God made the promise 430-year past after God made the promise for this to come into season. When the Lord says we're entering into the season, you know, that to me was like, okay, awesome. Awesome. A promise of him answering prayer. Promises to come to pass and show me mine coming to pass. And I'm excited for it. Whoa. Just show me then coming to pass. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because then I was saying, before that I was saying, well, if he doesn't answer us down here, we'll go to heaven. Okay. Okay. What's better than going to heaven? What's better than being raptured? You know, if he doesn't answer us before we go, okay. But the revival is exactly him answering our prayer for family to come to the Lord. Okay? That's what the revival is about. Okay? So, one of the questions that I also had was, what about the people that have their family vaccinated? You know, something that he didn't want me to go into that. Because he's going to provide the medication that those that have been vaccinated can come out of that. But they need to do sincere repentance. So I believe we can pray for them. Because they need to do sincere repentance. And we know that the Lord is the one can help us. My brother and sister. So it's like a pause there in regard to those that have been vaccinated. You know, like the Lord is pausing on that, and, okay? Because he already has told me that they need to do sincere repentance. So I don't want to add to them much, okay? Because brother says to me on the phone, brother, I believe the Lord can remove the effect of the vaccine from their body, okay? So you know, brother is asking, is the medication pine needle green tea? Yeah, according to doctor specialists, they say, yes, that can remove the effects of medication. Notice how all this is coming into place. So that's what we need to bring in prayer before the Lord. Lord, it's a pine needle, the medication. Pine needle tea, the medication. That we know the doctor says, yes, but something now that we need to take into prayer. It's just important. We need to take it into prayer before the Lord. Not assume because doctors are saying, but really take it into prayer, knowing from the Lord that this is what the Lord is saying is going to remove it. Okay? It's something that I have not done. Sincerely, I say, I have not taken it before the Lord, the pine needle tea medication to remove the coronavirus by seeing effect. So it's something that we need to do. And I'm glad you reminded me this. Thank you. Because we have totally forgotten that we need to do that. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So Acts 13:23 say, of this man, see how God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus, according to his promise. Okay? According to the promise. My brother and sister. So everything God has done in the past and the Bible has been according to his promise. What we are receiving that we've been praying for are according to his promise. And God has said yes, amen to our prayer request for our family to be saved. And much of the other prayer that we are asking for, let it be a house or anything we need. My brother and sister, for the reason is of the obligation that we still have, because when the economy fall, and Sister Barbara and Brother Dan have done a great job for the Lord informing people of the economy falling, the country coming into the worst time in history, my brother and sister, people finding themselves in the worst time in history without having what they need, that's not going to be easy for anyone. Okay? I believe Sister Barbara has done a great job in regard to that. Had really hammer the information into people to be reminded that we need to be ready for this time and season. If there's blackout, if there's power outages, you need to have backup power. Okay? It could be a gas generator, a battery backup. They sell battery backup on eBay and Amazon, which I bought one, and I'm going to recommend, I believe it's called Cyber Power, which they have in Amazon, my brothers and sisters. I have three of them, I believe it is. Okay? They are awesome for power outages. They come with a battery inside. And let me show you the one I have, and I'm going to show you the one I recommend. Is no more, the one I ordered is no more than 119. I see another one here. Cyber Power. They're called Cyber Power. Battery backup, surge protector, UPS system. Okay? You may want to have this before the power outages come, my brother and sister. Okay, power changes, the prices changes so much. It was 119, sometimes we see them 111. I found one on eBay for $75. It had not been shipped to me yet. Okay. In power outages, they are awesome. And they come with 5-year warranty from this company, Cyber Power. It looks like in Amazon, they have practically ordered all of them. Okay. So it tells you that there's been so much power outages around the country that people are buying them. I know there's a company here in I believe it's South Carolina that have them, and I contacted them to try to get a discount from them in order for me to order two. I was able to order two, but I tell you, they are necessary. Because we did have a couple of power outages last week and the week before. Duke Energy here in North Carolina, for some reason, is having problem. They have raised the power price, the electricity price here, tremendously, where a lot of people are complaining to Duke Energy. And they're trying to work that out with the state to help people out. But then people are having power outages, my brother and sister, like crazy in North Carolina. And when this economy falls, okay, there's the name on the chat room, okay? And maybe those that cannot see the chat room can email me and I'll send you the link, okay? It's called Cyber Power. It has a 10-hourly connection. And it's an 1100 BA PC battery backup. You can run a light bulb out of this for 3 days easily. We had it all night long. You can run your television from it without any problem in case you want to hear the news or radio for days, maybe a week of radio. Depends on how much you use it, but how you use it. If it's for emergency power, I can connect one of the children's television for them to watch cartoon or if there's a power outages for them not to be complaining or dad, what are we going to do now? A light bulb, at least a light bulb. Okay. And I have some solar in my house that I can connect it to and recharge it if I need to during the day and then just keep using it during the night, but it will definitely last all night long. You will have to test it. They do sell more than 1500 volt VA. I think it's volt amperage. I believe that's what that is, volt amperage. And so you can run your fridge out of it, your television, and if you need to run a DVD. So keep that in mind, please. And it's because I tested this already. I had one for a couple of years, I believe it is, or more, and it works fine, no problem. and they're guaranteed for 5 years from the company. Okay, so please, you want to have backup power in the days to come, in months to come, because it's going, the prices of these things are going to go very high. Right now, they're already going high because how many people have the many power outages all over the state. They say that this winter, what happened in Texas last year in winter, is basically what's going to happen around the country of the U.S., especially California. Okay, California is already, they're already talking about power outages very soon, my brother and sister. Okay, they cannot keep up with the demand. And it's so much of what Biden is doing to the nation that it's going to cause these power outages all over the country by the end of this year and this coming winter. You may want to be ready. Okay, you may want to be ready ahead of time. Okay, I bought one for my modem, my internet, and I got my computer connected to one of them, but the one on the computer is small. It doesn't last long, so I may need to get a bigger one just for the computer if I want to do it in power outages the Lord's hour, which I do want it. I want to do it, yeah, at least just to keep people informed of the things that are coming, or as a reminder to the people of the things that are coming. Practically, that's what the bride is doing, my brother and sister. God's promise has already been spoken. So we are just encouraging people to continue to repent and seek the Lord, because changes are coming. As we're already seeing, by the end of this year, I believe we're going to see a lot of changes. And in 2022, the changes will be dramatically to this country and the world. I truly believe that. Why? Because I saw it last year. That's how I know. Okay? The Lord showed it to me last year. What is ahead? What is coming? I even say, I hope we were not around in 22. I said, well, I was saying last year, I hope we're not around the end of 21 or not even going into 22, because I already seen what's coming, and it's not pretty. Okay? Seeing a lot of chaos coming. And when you see stuff coming like that, you don't want to go through that, especially with children. Okay? A lot of people don't understand why are we like, we want to go home and we don't want to go through it, because we have children. As an adult, you can go through it and not get in trouble. I don't have to go out and riot. I don't have to join the people, okay, and putting myself to be shot by the military and all that, as I seen. I don't need to put myself there. I don't need, so I'll keep my children in the house when these things are happening, rioting, and so much more, because in the moment the economy falls, there's going to be great rioting all over the country. I seen it. It's horrible. A lot of people get killed and shot. I was standing with Jesus seeing people being shot all over the country because the economy falling. It's not going to be pretty. And our advice you to stay home. Please stay home. When you hear one of these things and then, oh, the economy is falling, stay home. Please stay home. So thank you, Brother Benjamin, for joining us tonight. And thank you, each and one of you, my brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord Jesus give you a shalom. Thank you very much for joining us. Hallelujah. Don't miss our Bible study on Tuesday night. We'll be here, my brother and sister, with another Bible study to continue to encourage you to continue to repent and seek the Lord. Shalom, shalom.
A great change of scenery in your life. The mountains shall be removed and hindrances shall be removed. And things are turning even now, for the goodness of God shall be manifested. So lift up your hands and lift up your eyes, for the glory of God shall be revealed, and there shall be an increase measure that shall come upon you, and you'll shake off the dust of the past and arise and shine for the glory.